Ever tried finding a needle in a haystack? But imagine that the needle itself is made of hay.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's the challenge of extracting signals hidden within quantum or random noise. And that's exactly what we're diving into today in this deep dive.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to unpack some research by Michael Stephen Fisk. Really explores a technique that has the potential to revolutionize cybersecurity in a post-quantum world.
Wow, I'm intrigued already. So how do you make digital secrets kind of just vanish like that?
Well, the research focuses on this concept called a scatter map. And basically, every single bit of a signal is randomly placed within a much larger string of noise.
Okay, so it's less about making the signal itself invisible and more about making it impossible to locate. Like shuffling a deck of cards and the signal is just like a couple specific cards. Finding those cards without knowing the shuffle order, like that would be a nightmare.
That's a great analogy. And to make that shuffling truly unpredictable, this technique relies on quantum random number generators, or QRNGs. And these generators, they leverage the inherent randomness of quantum mechanics, specifically the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, to create noise that's, well, impossible to predict.
So the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, it's not just about, the position and momentum of particles. It's also being used to generate truly random numbers. How does that even work?
Well, you're right. The principle states that certain pairs of physical properties, like the position and momentum of a particle, can't both be known at the same time, like with perfect accuracy. So this inherent uncertainty at the quantum level, well, it can be harnessed to generate numbers that are truly random, unlike the pseudo-random numbers that classical computers generate.
That's fascinating. So we're using the uncertainty principle to create kind of like digital smoke screens. So how does all this quantum randomness actually help with, hiding information?
Well, it boils down to making the noise surrounding the message completely unpredictable. So that way, even with the sophisticated analysis, the hidden signal can't be distinguished from the background noise, and it achieves what's called perfect secrecy.
Perfect secrecy. That sounds like something straight out of a spy movie. What does that actually mean, like in a practical sense?
Essentially, even if you're looking at the data, the probability of guessing the hidden signal remains the same. It's like trying to break a code where every single guess has the same chance of being right, whether you've seen the data or not. Now, while achieving true perfect secrecy can be challenging in practice, Fisk's research shows that you can get arbitrarily close to it by increasing the amount of noise used.
So more noise equals more security. I like the sound of that. But how is this being used in the real world? What's like an example of this in action?
Well, one application is in securing the exchange of public keys in a Diffie-Hellman key exchange. And this is it's a really crucial process for establishing secure communication channels.
All right, the Diffie-Hellman key exchange. I'm familiar with the basics. Could you maybe remind me how hiding public keys would make a difference?
Of course. In a standard Diffie-Hellman exchange, the public keys are exchanged openly, making them vulnerable to man-in-the-middle attacks, where an attacker intercepts the communication and pretends to be each party to the other,
Oh,
and
right.
effectively steals the information being exchanged.
So hiding the public keys within this quantum noise makes that kind of attack a lot harder.
Exactly. The attacker is essentially searching for needles that look like hay in a haystack the size of a planet. So it becomes practically impossible for the attacker to even identify the public keys, let alone intercept them.
That's really clever. This has the potential to make, online banking and really, any communication relying on Diffie-Hellman far more secure, particularly as we, kind of head into a world where quantum computers could potentially break traditional encryption.
Absolutely. That's one of the most exciting aspects of this research. It offers a potential solution to the threat posed by quantum computers to our current encryption methods.
Now we've touched on quantum computers a bit. I'm kind of curious to know more about how they could crack traditional encryption and why this method seems resistant to those attacks.
Well, traditional encryption relies on mathematical problems that are difficult for classical computers to solve. But quantum computers, with their, unique capabilities, could potentially break those codes. However, this new method of hiding information within quantum noise presents a different challenge.
So even with the speed and power of a quantum computer, finding the hidden signal is like searching for a specific grain of sand on a beach.
Precisely. While a powerful quantum computer running an algorithm, like Grover's algorithm, could potentially search for the hidden keys, it would need additional information to successfully pinpoint them within the vast, sea of noise.
Information that the attacker is very unlikely to have. It seems like we're talking about like a whole new level of security here, something that could withstand even, you know, sophisticated quantum hacking attempts.
That's what the research suggests, yeah. It's a testament to the potential of combining fundamental physics with innovative cryptographic techniques.
I have to admit, this is all incredibly fascinating. I'm curious to know more about how this technique actually works in practice. Can you, like, walk me through the process of hiding and retrieving information using this scatter map method?
Of course. Let's delve into that in part two of this deep dive. Welcome back. So let's unpack the specifics of, you know, how this hiding technique actually works in practice.
Yeah, I'm all ears. I'm really curious to know how that scatter map actually, like, hides the information. It almost feels like magic.
Yeah. It's not magic, but it is pretty clever. So remember our card shuffling analogy.
Yeah.
Well, the scatter map is essentially the instruction manual for that shuffle. It dictates where each bit of the signal is placed within the, you know, the random noise.
So you're saying the sender and the receiver both have this, like, secret scatter map.
Right.
That tells them, like, where to put the signal and where to find it later.
Exactly. You can think of it as, like, a shared secret, much like a key in traditional encryption. But instead of just simply scrambling the message, this technique hides it within a sea of noise, you know, using the scatter map as a guide.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But how is this scatter map created in the first place? It has to be random too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So the research paper describes a four-step procedure for creating and using the scatter map. So the first step is generating the initial scatter map, which is essentially a set of random instructions for placing the signal bits. And of course, this initial map is created using our trusty QRNGs, you know, to ensure true randomness.
So the QRNGs aren't just used for the noise, like, surrounding the message.
Right.
They're also used to create the map itself. That's a lot of randomness.
Indeed. The second step involves actually using this map to hide the signal. So the sender takes the message, combines it with, you know, a bunch of quantum noise, and then consults the map to place the signal bits at specific locations within that noise.
So they're following the map's instructions, like, to bury the signal bits at, like, seemingly random spots within the noise. And then the receiver, knowing that same map, can kind of retrace those steps to unearth the message.
That's the gist of it. However, there are two more steps that add even more layers of security.
More layers. It seems like this technique is already, you know, pretty secure. What else do they do?
Well, the third step involves something called a hidden nonce, which is essentially a random value that's used only once. You can think of it like a one-time pad almost for our scatter map.
Ah, so even if an attacker intercepted multiple transmissions, they couldn't use knowledge from one to, like, crack the others because each one would use a different, like, variation of the map.
Exactly. So the hidden nonce adds an extra layer of unpredictability. It ensures that even if someone figures out the scatter map used for one transmission, they can't use that knowledge to decipher subsequent ones. And to top it off, the nonce itself is hidden within the noise using the scatter map, making it even harder to find.
Wow, it's like a puzzle box within a puzzle box.
Yeah.
Like, the signal's hidden, the nonce is hidden, and they're both orchestrated by this secret, ever-changing map. That's some serious security.
It is. This layered approach makes the technique incredibly robust. Even if an attacker manages to, like, peel back one layer, they're met with another. And another.
I'm starting to see why this is so promising in a world of, you know, increasingly sophisticated cyber attacks and the looming threat of quantum computers.
Right.
So let's kind of shift gears a bit and talk about those real world applications.
Yeah.
We discussed Diffie-Hellman earlier. Are there other scenarios where this technique, like, could really shine?
Absolutely. While securing key exchanges is, you know, crucial, this technique has far broader applications. One exciting area is digital watermarking.
Digital watermarking.
Yeah.
Right, where you embed, like, hidden information within digital media to kind of prove authenticity or ownership.
Right.
Like an invisible signature embedded in, like, a song or a video.
Precisely. Think about the implications for, you know, copyright protection, combating digital counterfeiting, and even verifying the integrity of, you know, really sensitive documents.
That's a whole other level of security and trust.
Right.
And we're really only scratching the surface here. What other possibilities does this technique, like, open up?
Another intriguing application is in the field of steganography, which is essentially the art of hiding information in plain sight, often within images or, you know, other seemingly harmless files.
Steganography, I remember reading about that. It's like hiding a secret message within, like, a picture of a cat. Nobody would suspect a thing.
Exactly. And by combining steganography with quantum randomness, you could create communication channels that are both incredibly secure and covert.
So we're talking about secret messages hidden within images that are themselves hidden within random noise. This is getting into some like serious spy movie territory.
It is fascinating. The potential applications are vast and exciting.
This all sounds incredible, but I have to ask, how practical is this in the real world? Do we need to build some kind of quantum internet to make this work?
That's a common misconception. The beauty of this technique is that it can be implemented using existing infrastructure. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. The research specifically mentions compatibility with our current TCP/IP infrastructure.
That's a relief. So no need for like massive overhauls of the internet. What about the QRNGs themselves? Are those readily available?
They are. In fact, there are already commercially available QRNGs that are compact, inexpensive, and capable of generating random numbers at incredibly high speeds.
So the building blocks are already here, like the network, the technology, it's all falling into place. But isn't there a risk of like a single point of failure if all these QRNGs are controlled by, a central authority?
That's a great point. And the researchers have they've addressed that concern as well. So this system is designed to be decentralized. So both the sender and the receiver have their own QRNGs, eliminating the need for a central authority and further enhancing security.
Decentralized, secure, resistant to quantum attacks, and practical to implement. It sounds almost too good to be true.
It's certainly a promising development, and the researchers haven't just relied on theory and simulations. They've conducted rigorous testing to validate this technique, in practice.
Testing. I'm always curious about like how they know something like this actually works.
Yeah.
Did they have to like build a quantum computer to test it?
They didn't need a quantum computer, but they did employ a battery of statistical tests to ensure the randomness of the noise and the security of the hidden information. Let's delve into those tests in part three of our deep dive.
We're back for the final part of our deep dive into hiding signals and quantum random noise. We've covered the what and the how of this, pretty fascinating technique. Now I'm really interested in the how do we know this actually works aspect.
That's a crucial question. After all, even the most elegant theory, needs to be validated in practice. And in this case, the researchers really went to great lengths to test the robustness of their technique using a series of statistical tests.
So they didn't just like rely on mathematical proofs and computer simulations. They actually put this to the test. What did those tests involve?
They focused on two key aspects, the randomness of the quantum noise itself and the randomness of the public keys, being hidden within that noise.
Makes sense. You want to ensure that both the hay and the needles are truly random, to make the hiding effective. How do you even test for true randomness?
Well, it's not a simple task, but there are tools designed for this purpose. The researchers used a suite of statistical tests known as the DyeHard tests, which are specifically designed to detect any patterns or biases in supposedly random data.
The DyeHard tests, those sound pretty serious. So they essentially put the quantum noise through the ringer, so to speak, to make sure it was truly unpredictable.
That's a great way to put it. They generated millions of random bits using a quantum random number generator and subjected them to a battery of 13 different DyeHard tests.
13.
Yeah. And if even one of those tests revealed a pattern, it would indicate a weakness in the randomness.
13 tests. Wow, that's a lot of scrutiny.
Yeah.
And did the quantum noise pass with flying colors?
It did. The results showed no statistically significant patterns or anomalies.
Hmm.
The quantum noise passed all 13 tests with flying colors, indicating that it was indeed truly random.
That's reassuring. So we have like solid evidence that the noise itself is genuinely random. But what about the public keys being hidden? How did they test the randomness of those?
They followed a similar approach. They generated millions of public keys using a specific cryptographic algorithm and then analyzing the individual bits within those keys. Using the same diehard tests.
So they were looking for any hints of like predictability within the structure of the keys themselves.
Yeah.
Any pattern could potentially give an attacker a foothold.
Exactly. And the results were equally impressive. The public keys also passed all 13 diehard tests, demonstrating a high degree of randomness.
So it's not just the noise that's random, it's also the information being hidden within it. That's
Yeah.
a double layer of protection.
Right.
It sounds like this technique is pretty robust.
It is, and the researchers didn't stop there. They even conducted diehard tests on the algorithms used to create the scatter maps themselves,
Wow.
ensuring that the shuffling process was itself truly random.
Wow, they really went above and beyond to like validate every aspect of this technique. That level of rigor, I mean, it speaks volumes about their commitment to building a truly secure system.
It does. These tests provide a strong foundation of evidence, you know, for the effectiveness and security of this technique in a real-world setting.
So where do we go from here? What are the next steps for this research? What else could this be used for?
That's where things get really exciting. This research really opens up a whole new frontier, you know, in cybersecurity and beyond. We've talked about securing key exchanges and digital watermarking, but the possibilities extend far beyond that. Imagine using this technique to protect passwords, financial transactions, or even medical records.
So we're potentially talking about like invisible digital vaults for all sorts of sensitive information. That's a game changer.
It is. And the implications go beyond just data security. You know, this technique could be used to ensure the authenticity of information, to prevent tampering and fraud, or even to create, you know, new forms of covert communication.
I'm also thinking about the potential impact on privacy. In a world where, like, data breaches are increasingly common, having a way to truly protect sensitive information, it feels more important than ever.
Absolutely. This research has the potential to reshape our digital landscape in ways where we're only just beginning to imagine.
This has been an incredible journey. We've gone from the mind-bending world of quantum mechanics to the very real and pressing challenges of cybersecurity. We've explored the nuts and bolts of this fascinating technique, examined its you know, potential applications, and even peeked into the future of data security in a post-quantum world.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure unpacking all of this with you. You know, it's a testament to the power of human ingenuity that we can harness the fundamental randomness of the universe to protect our most valuable information.
And who knows what other incredible discoveries await us as we, you know, as we delve deeper into the mysteries of the quantum realm. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of hidden signals and quantum randomness. We hope it sparked your curiosity and left you pondering the endless possibilities of science and technology.